Today, Christendom celebrates it as Good Friday. It almost seems an anomaly to call it Good Friday when we think of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. Why is it called Good Friday then? It may be described as Good Friday insofar as it refers to mankind. The goodness of the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord of salvation was confirmed that day when Jesus died at Calvary on what we call Good Friday. This morning, as we take a look at the message that we want to hear from the Lord's Word, is on the theme of God's love. And this is an important subject that we would do well to study, to ponder over, and much of it is discussed in the Gospel of John. There are very clear statements about God's love, and this is something that we need to think about very carefully. Right? We turn to the Gospel of John in the third chapter, and we see how John the Baptizer emphasized the fact that God so loved the world. The famous text in John 3:16 describes God's love for the whole world. So much, so great is that love that God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might believe in Him and not perish but have eternal life. A second declaration was made in John 3:35 when John said, "The Father loves the Son and has given us and has given all things into His hand." Jesus will affirm that truth. And He said Himself, John 5:20, "The Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does." And the subject of love is well considered as we ponder Good Friday, because the love of God is well displayed on that first Good Friday. However, the stark reality remains very clear. Not everyone will respond to God or to His love. In John 3 and verse 19, we read these words: "Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And if they were to come to God, to His love, to His light, their evil deeds would be exposed, and few would like to see that happen." In John chapter 5, in verse 42, Jesus would make this comment: "You do not have the love of God in you." And so, these words that speak about God's love begin the whole discussion of the theme of love in the Gospel of John. And as we look at the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the most startling statements are found in John 13 to 15. We read in John 13 in verse 1, for example, about the love of Jesus. And this is what we read in John chapter 13 at verse 1. "Jesus knew that the hour had come." This was a reference to His death, the hour of His death. And the following words are startling. Instead of being concerned about Himself, about His death, about His suffering, we read that Jesus, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. So the theme of love continues. God's love for mankind, God's love for Jesus, Jesus' love for His disciples from beginning to the end. And then there came that Maundy Thursday night where the Lord Jesus Christ gave a special commandment. There were actually two commandments. The first commandment was one where he told the disciples they must learn to wash each other's feet. That was set as an example, but no less a command. But the commandment was clearly stated when he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the famous text found in John 13, 34 and 35. How would we know that we actually have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is where Jesus explained in John chapter 14, 15, firstly to his own disciples. They of all people would have known God's love. They would have experienced the love of their teacher, their master, their Lord. But Jesus went on to say to them, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There was no taking for granted that the disciples actually loved Jesus. Jesus was too deep, too wise, too discerning to think that just because they followed him, that love for him was actually there intact. That is not necessarily true. Well, we read on further. A reiteration came in John 14, 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." A real test for the love for the Lord Jesus Christ would be, one, in knowing his commandments and in keeping of his commandments. And if these things are not fulfilled, then we must seriously question whether that love was actually there in the first place. A response from God, if there is that genuine love for the Lord Jesus and for the keeping of his word. John 14, 23, Jesus explained, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Again, we see the emphasis on the keeping of the Lord's word. And then he went on further, "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." The danger is very real, and we must emphasize this. Jesus went on to talk about this in John 14, 24. "He who does not love me does not keep my words." So if we do not keep the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we cannot say that we actually love him. Well, Jesus gave a tremendous testimony of how this love works. And so he said, this was his testimony, this was his declaration, that he loved his Father, John 14, 31. "And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." So that's where the love for God, the love for the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderfully expressed. It is not verbally alone. It is not a verbal oral statement of love for the Lord. Anyone can say that. Anyone can do that. But the reality comes when we are able to speak truly of a love for his word, a keeping of his commandments. Therein is that love for the Lord Jesus and for the Father well expressed. But love is such that we may speak of expressions of love. And the greatest proof of love was yet to be taught. And then Jesus went on in John chapter 15. So we remember John 3, John 5, John 13, John 14, and now John 15. And he clearly stated this: "Greater love has no one than this." So there is great love, and there is greater love. And so Jesus went on further to explain this. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. It is not enough to talk about love. No matter how eloquent we may be in the expression of that love, it must be demonstrated. But the demonstration of that love is not just in terms of little sacrifices we make along life's way. It's not in the giving up of conveniences, of the comforts of life. It's not even expressed even when we give large sums of money. The greatest expression of love is the ability to lay down one's life for his friends. And this was what Jesus said. He demonstrated that love. First, it was expressed in the way he addressed his disciples as friends. Sometimes this word friend is also used to describe a similar word called a brother. Right? So they are in a semantic field, the same region. But they were true friends, indeed, if they actually listened to the Lord, obeyed his commandments, and learn to love one another. And this was his command, expressly. The command was reiterated that they are to love one another. It was stated in John chapter 13, it is stated in John 14, and now we see reiterated in John 15. Once again, he reminds them that this love for one another was not an option. It was not an advice. It was no less a commandment. And so he said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Seldom did Jesus use the word commandment. Throughout, he spoke about the love of God. He expressed it. He demonstrated. But the reason why he had to express this as a commandment was obvious. The disciples had great difficulty in learning how to love each other. There was rivalry among them. Each one wanted to be considered great or greater than the other. Everyone wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to take that position that the Lord Jesus Christ would leave behind. What was necessary? And Good Friday, we are reminded of the Lord Jesus' command, and that is to love one another. And this love must be sustained. Because if this love is not sustained, then we will end up with the problem of beginning but not being able to continue. The challenge is to abide in the Lord Jesus first. It's not enough to simply say, "I believe in Jesus," but not abide in him. And so the illustration is given in John 15 about the vine and the branches. As the branches cannot remain on its own and hope to stay alive, so branches must abide in the vine. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. The disciples cannot simply speak about following Jesus but not abiding in him. It is not enough to receive his word, not enough to be with him, not enough to fellowship with him. The key challenge is to learn how to abide in Jesus. It is only when we learn how to abide in Jesus will this love that he speaks about be sustained. How does this work? How does a person abide in the Lord Jesus anyway? And it is expressed further in John 15, 7. To abide in Jesus is to abide in the word of the Lord Jesus. Yes, I think we all miss being in church on Easter, for the Easter concert, a Good Friday, on Monday, Thursday, then on Sunday, Easter Sunday. But the focus is not fellowship. The focus is not even in the singing of hymns together. Those things are great and they are wonderful. But the challenge to sustaining this love is found in the idea of abiding in the word of Jesus. And if we can abide in Jesus, even if we do not meet up with each other, even if we do not have fellowship, even if this stay-home order is going to last for more than a month, the challenge is to be able to abide in the word of Jesus. When we take time to read his word, when we take time to meditate, to read, to study, to set aside time, not just for relaxation, for stay home, to be with the family, but to devote part of that time to abide in the word of Jesus. And therein, we will find this love for Jesus well sustained. And this love must be sustained further as we think about the love of Jesus. How do we abide in the love of Jesus? We can abide in the love of Jesus when we think of how the Father loved Jesus. When we think of how Jesus loved the Father in return. When we ponder about how Jesus loved his disciples. How Jesus loved the different individuals who came to him. How his heart was moved with compassion for the blind, for the lame, for the leprous, for those who were possessed by demons. The love of Jesus was so beautifully demonstrated time and time again. And our challenge is to learn how to abide in the love of Jesus as we see example after example, illustration after illustration of the love of Jesus. And it is this love that we must find ourselves thinking about, praying about, that we can then sustain this love. On Good Friday, we have no greater demonstration of the love of Jesus than when a man would lay down his life for his friends. For a world, for the mankind that does not even know Jesus, he gave his life for the world, that they may find faith in him, find the reality of God and his love, and truly be drawn to receiving salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This Good Friday, the message is found in three different things that we can all attempt to do. And the first is that we must seek to be immersed in the love of God. It is not enough to simply to be touched by the love of God. It is not enough to read about the love of God, to know the love of God. The challenge this Good Friday is to be immersed in the love of God. What does it mean to be immersed? And that word must be that we are flooded. That's the idea of being immersed. We are flooded. Flooded with words of love expressed. And you can find these words of love from the Old Testament, where God told Israel that he loved them. And we see this expressed again and again in the Gospels, where the love of God is expressed. We must not only read these words, know them, believe in them, but to be immersed in the love that is communicated by the words of love expressed. To be immersed is also to be filled with the expressions of God's love. And I think this is something that we often take for granted. Israel once said, "Wherein have you loved us?" And God said this very clearly, that he loved Jacob, that he loved Israel. And he expressed that love in so many ways. He expressed that love in his protection, expressed that love in his provision. He expressed that love in his presence. He expressed that love in giving countless promises to the Lord, to his people, that they may know the Lord the way they should. And this is important. And of course, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that immersion takes place when we understand how the Spirit of God really pours out the love of God into our hearts. And we are not talking about little showers of blessing. We are talking a flood of God's love. That flood of God's love is expressed in the outpouring of God's love. There is immensity of God's love outpoured. The challenge is to be immersed in the love of God. And I think we all understand this. Well, to be immersed is only the beginning. It's something we can do to let the love of God fill our hearts more completely. The second part of it that we can respond to effectively is to be impacted afresh by the love of the Lord Jesus. And that love, to be impacted afresh, is just absolutely amazing. At the scene at the place called Calvary in Luke chapter 23, we see a whole lot of people who were there. There were the crowds, obviously. They were always there. There were the soldiers. If a centurion is there, you can imagine that there would be a huge cohort of soldiers. Otherwise, a centurion would not be needed for crowd control and for other purposes. Then, of course, the enemies were there, mocking, gloating to the very end. Then there was Simon of Cyrene. And then there were the women folk who were lamenting and crying as they watched Jesus being led to Calvary. Then there were the disciples, called acquaintances there. They were all there. The challenge is not just to be there, but to be impacted. To be impacted afresh. And this is what we understand. The love of Jesus was so beautifully displayed when he took time to actually pray that God the Father would forgive all those who put him on the cross. That love was expressed again when he said to John and to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," referring to John. And to John, "Son, behold your mother." And from that day onwards, John took Mary into his own home and loved her and took care of her as his own mother. That love was expressed again to the thief on the cross. And he said to him, "Today, this day, you shall be with me in paradise." That is that love. What about all the disciples who fled? There wasn't a harsh word against them. He had already warned them. He knew that they had fled. If at best they were standing afar off, at a distance, and they were simply described as acquaintance. What a sad description of the disciples of Jesus. They were merely acquaintance. But that love of the Lord Jesus was there to the very end. It was there expressed in friendship given to them. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 that he was not ashamed to call them brethren, despite the fact that they had fled from him, despite the fact that they had not stood up with him, despite all the nice words they said about being true to him. His love was evidenced when he laid down his life for us. The challenge this Good Friday must be to see whether we can be impacted afresh by the love of the Lord Jesus. That love of the Lord Jesus was absolutely beautiful. It is expressed in so many different ways, but it was there expressed. The challenge is to be impacted in a fresh, new way. How do we respond? This Good Friday, I want to ask whether we can initiate steps to respond to the love of the Lord Jesus. Can we initiate some definite, practical, personal steps that we should take? One, let us commence the initiation of this step by thinking about love for God the Father. It was He in His foreknowledge, in His foreordination, that planned our salvation involving His grace, His love, His compassion, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God. How can we not love God as Father? Let it continue with the idea of love for Jesus, our Savior. We're not asking people to love Jesus just simply because it is a commandment. We are asking people to commence a love for Jesus because of all that He has done. If Jesus had not first loved us, He would have no desire, no right to ask us to love Him in return. But because He has done everything we can imagine possible to give us salvation, to give us forgiveness, to give us a status of being justified and more, how can we not love Jesus, our Savior? And this love, the commencement of initiation of these steps of love, must be and is possible through the Spirit of God. It is He who will regenerate our life. It is He who will give to us a heart of love. It is He who will give to us a new heart that is able to love God back in return. But the initiation of steps to obey the Lord, to walk in this love, is going to take conscious effort. And this conscious effort must be done very carefully. How do we know we love the Lord Jesus? Again, we go back to what Jesus taught in John 13, 14, and 15. We are to learn how to abide in His love. If we do not abide in this love of the Lord Jesus, we will never be able to sustain this love. Conscious effort must be made to abide. Each day, every day, we must bear this in mind. And we must say to ourselves, we must abide in the love of Jesus. And then we must also determine consciously to keep His commandments. If we do not consciously attempt to keep His commandments, then all the efforts we have, all the feelings we have, all the sentiments we desire that we can speak about, they will all come to naught, nothing. And then, of course, the conscious effort must be made to love one another. And this is wonderful to see and well expressed. And our challenge is to respond to this Good Friday message about the love of God. Let me conclude this Good Friday message with this poem that I wrote. And it is taken from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He said, love one another. The call of God to salvation is given with a loving voice. To be forgiven of all our sins is surely reason to rejoice. God offers salvation full and free because of pure love. There is no greater affection than that which comes from above. The challenge of Jesus to His disciples was to love one another truly. This was no easy task where the heart is filled with thoughts that are unruly. The commandment of Jesus is clear and unmistakable. Love for one another is the hallmark of true disciples. The love of God for the world is clearly seen when He sent Jesus to die for our sins and to enable us to receive imputed righteousness. The love of Jesus was made plain for all to examine and to see. He would love His own, for He called them friends for eternity. How we need to be totally immersed in the love of God. The need of the hour is to be impacted afresh by the Lord. May we determine to abide firmly in God's love divine. Then would we bear good fruit according to God's design. May the Lord help us to respond to the love of God. Greater love has no one than this. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you afresh for the love that you have so beautifully demonstrated. When on the first Good Friday, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life in terrible pain and suffering, that we may be forgiven, that we may find a home with you in heaven. We pray that this day you will truly wash, cleanse us from all the things that prevent us, that hinder us from truly loving you and our Savior. And we ask that the Spirit of God may begin a new work within our hearts and enable us to truly find a fresh new love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us a desire to abide in his love. Teach us the desire to sustain this love in the reading of the Word of God, in abiding in the same. And so we pray that this Good Friday will see us refreshed, impacted afresh, immersed in the great love of God. So we pray for your blessings upon us all this Good Friday. We pray for your grace and for your mercy for a world that is so badly afflicted with this COVID-19 virus. We pray for your own, that during this time of hardship, of affliction, we will draw closer and find afresh the sense of love for God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.